What is happening, PGA DFS fans? It is live before lock, Wednesday before the United States Open, and I am back. I'm joining Ben Raza, as he's been here for quite some time, and I decided to take a couple month break from the late show, but I'm back. It's an open, Ben, and I just can't pass up talking about it as long and as late as possible. But before we get into breaking down the field and some interesting tidbits that have been released today in the last couple of days, we, of course, want to thank our friends and sponsors over at Monkey Knife Fight. They are continued support of the show. And Ben, today, they've got a really good one that I'm excited about to talk about, the player prop contest for round one. And tomorrow, we're going to go for a 4Xer. And that line that Monkey Knife Fight is setting for us is 72.5 is the stroke average. I've got three guys. I think they're all going to shoot under par tomorrow. So they're all going to break this score. Now, the three names, pretty big names, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, and Bryson DeChambeau. I think they're all going to come out and shoot under par. So for 4X your money, do you like going along with me on this player prop contest? Or do you think one of those guys is maybe not playing good enough to shoot under par at round one of the US Open?
So we're going to see. It could be very, very difficult. But at the same time, I think players have said that, you know, there's opportunities, especially if you're driving it well. I think Brooks would be the one. And listen, it's Brooks at the US Open. I'm sure he'll figure it out. He's always a little shaky in the sense that lately he hasn't been playing great outside of these majors. And we have the knee injury. Who knows? But if we get major Brooks, everything will take care of itself. He usually starts fast. And I like the other two. So I can get down with that. You're getting a good multiplier. And that is one of the, you know, the themes of the week on Monkey Knife Fight.
Sure is. And hey, a great way to kind of take advantage of this and go along and join us in this player prop contest is to use the deposit bonus, your first deposit bonus, by using promo code AWESOMO, and you're going to get up to $100 there. So a pretty good way to get behind us. Of course, if you're into the NBA props or that, they have all of that too. Of course, with Euro going on and soccer, they've got some of those contests out there. So let's go ahead and jump into our waves, weathers, and withdraw. It's the triple W's here, bringing it back. 156 players, 76 exempt, about 80 qualifiers. But maybe more importantly, and this is a great way to start off this show, there is no weather problems. It is sunny San Diego in the summer, 78 every single day with no wind. It's just golf. It is just man versus the golf course this week, man.
That's good because we got enough problems. If it was windy on top of everything else, that would just be a variable that I don't think anyone wants to deal with. You know, we've got U.S. Open conditions and we see Torrey during the year at the Farmers. So evaluating how different it's going to be, it's nice to not have to worry about weather and honestly not really worried about withdrawals either for the time being. I don't see anything on the docket.
Listen, if our leader is forced to withdraw again, then that's it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to be a great tournament. No withdrawals, no anything like that. So let's just go ahead and put that behind us. Maybe talk about a couple of the waves going on out there. Talk about a few golfers, of course. The U.S. Open is notorious for putting together some fun threesomes the first couple of days. We've got a couple of South African connections going on. We've got a couple of former champions. Sadly, no Brooks Bryson. Hopefully we'll get that organically, of course, for those rooting for it. But Ben, the first tee shot, Sahith Theegala, who's from the area, will get that. Just wanted to mention that. But maybe the first tee time that is generating some buzz would be Brian Harman, Tommy Fleetwood, and Matthew Wolf. He's back. 3 months absent, basically 2 months, you know, since the Masters. So 2.5. Last time we played at the U.S. Open, he was the only guy that really took Bryson DeChambeau into anything. So do you want to play him at all, given the fact that, well, you know, he did just come runner up not, you know, 8 months ago at this exact tournament?
I get it if you're building enough teams and you want to put him in a millie. He's a perpetual millie play when he's low owned. The problem is, A, he's by far the most likely to withdraw of any player just because we've seen that. And B, the game is just kind of broken right now. His stats don't bear out any form whatsoever. So unless you think that he comes back completely healthy and completely good, it's probably an unnecessary risk for me. So he did not make my player pool.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I am, you know, I love the $10 Millie Maker. It's, you know, fun to fire out a bunch of lineups and that, you know, you make them like candy at this point. He's made a couple of mine, I'm not going to lie. Tommy Fleetwood is the other guy that I guess we can talk about. Maybe Brian Harman. For me, it's a quick and easy description. I believe this golf course is too long for Brian Harman. Not for me. I know he's competed at Erin Hills, but Erin Hills is more like Kiawah Island. Wide open fairways, not like we're going to see this week. So too big of a golf course. But Tommy Fleetwood has popped up at a similar course, say like Shinnecock Hills at the U.S. Open. Does this form give you any credence to roster him here at low ownership and say, you know, high sevens, low eights?
A little bit. He's in a range that I think there's a lot of pretty not safe plays, but guys that have better floors, make a lot of cuts. Fleetwood is someone, the stats are all over the place, but he's shown some life and the around the green game has been strong. He's got to avoid those blowups. So I still believe it's in there. He's not certainly a core play just because he's competing against Anser and Casey and Fitzy and many other stable players. But Fleetwood did make the pool, unlike Matthew Wolff.
Yeah, for sure. Now, all these guys that I'm talking about are going out tomorrow morning. So we're just going over the waves a little bit of people. Now we get into some of the star groupings, I would say, in the morning. Morikawa, Thomas, and Koepka, certainly a power grouping. And then the all-England grouping of Fitzy, Hatton, and Hovland. Then we've got the South California grouping of Max Homa, Xander Schauffele, and Phil Mickelson. So I just gave you nine names there, and you know we'll certainly go into them as we go down the board. But of those groupings, do you like to play any of them all together at this point?
So I do like to look at that stuff. I think the problem is the groups we're kind of talking about, they have one landmine that I don't know I can get. I like Xander and I like Homa. Obviously, I'm not going to play Phil. The South Africa, I think they're all interesting on their own. I don't think you could play all three of them, though. That's probably a little too much leverage. So I will have some tee time stacks and some pairs, but I don't know if I'm going with any, you know, pairing all three per se.
Yeah, I do like Morikawa, Koepka. I think that, you know, the ownership is low enough there that I'm intrigued. I do like Hatton, Hovland. I think Hatton's playing better, but I think you nailed it. X-Man and Homa actually happens to be my favorite combo out of all of those right now. I think that the allocation to salary there is not that much, and you can go a lot of ways with your lineup building doing that. So found myself doing that. In the afternoon groupings, we got the Texas connection of Zalatoris, Scheffler, Spieth, and then Rory, Rose, DJ. And then to finish it off, I should say Leishman, Reed, and Rahm. So no real like connections or anything there, just some good groupings. Any golfers that you saw in a theme you would like to stack? Zalatoris, Scheffler seemed easy. They're priced right next to each other, similar type of game. So I found it, if I was doing that stack, to do it pretty easily.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. The afternoon pairings really, I don't know. I didn't see a ton of themes in there. You've got Cantlay and Usti playing together, which is kind of nice. Grayson Hoffman's a pairing I looked at with Streelman. But, you know, as you mentioned, just good golfers paired up. I have no problem with it. But some of these groups, yeah, I mean, like Scott, Sergio, and Bubba. Now, that's a group. Fire that one into the sun. But, yeah, there are some opportunities there for that type of build. And I like it because, again, to sum this up, there's no weather. You can build very, very freely.
Love that. And, of course, we've got a bunch of premium tools over here in Osmo, all geared to help you be more successful, not at just DFS, but of course, betting as well in all sports. Of course, if you're not an Osmo Plus member, check out some of the free premium tools we got going on for PGA, the golfer rankings tool. It's going to be free today. The main slate ownership projections for MLB. Well, that might be just a little bit behind, but still take a look at that. And NBA, the ownership projections were free today. So as we move along and we talk a little bit about major preparation now, and this is where we'll start off with some of the higher priced golfers. First, want to bring up two of the more weird things I saw around Twitter today. I'm sure maybe you saw it, or if you don't, I can kind of tell you what happened. Brooks Koepka was walking up a set of stairs and looked like, I don't even know what happened. Like his foot was asleep, or that honestly kind of looked like his foot was asleep, but it definitely looked weird. And Jordan Spieth was seen rubbing his like forearm area in a picture. Again, I'm not reading anything into those, but are you reading anything into the lower ownership that is projected right now?
Not really. I'm interested to see Brooks in particular because you have two kind of clashing themes. Brooks at times, specifically at Augusta, is just not healthy. I think we've seen that, but then he showed that he can still get it done at the PGA. But then we have the overarching theme of Brooks at the U.S. Open, Brooks and majors. So I'm interested to see where the public is coming off another bad miscut But with Brooks, it seems like he only cares about a couple weeks a year. So that's the one guy I think ownership is a little in flux. Everything else up top, as we're going to dive in, you know, these guys, they're the best players in the world and they're getting the ownership that kind of correlates to that.
Yeah, another 45 seconds or so on Koepka, maybe not as much, I will say. The one thing that really improves in his game, and we see it a lot, is his short game in the majors. Whether he literally just cares more, which he suggested is the case, or the greens being as fast as they are at majors, typically the fastest of any, maybe it just suited better for him. But Ben, he did gain just about 4 strokes ball striking last week, even in his, you know, 2 rounds there at Congaree. So given the fact that he did gain 4 strokes ball striking, does that make you more inclined to play him at 10-1 given the major preparation? Or would you rather have seen him do what, say, Dustin Johnson did, get into contention? A late triple obviously cost him a chance at winning that. But who would you rather play given the fact that they're, you know, they're pretty evenly priced? Maybe DJ is a little more expensive.
I think I'd go to Brooks. I do think the $600 matters in some lineups for sure. But yeah, I mean, Brooks did, you know, I don't mind the miscut. The ball striking was all right. I still think that generally, I mean, it's burned me a lot. So what can you say? But I think generally in majors, Brooks can be overowned at times. I'm not sure this will be one of them, but his game does translate. He is one of the best, if not the best, at knowing what you have to do against a course like this, which is give yourself 30 feet for birdie as often as possible, get out of there most of the time and let the field make the mistakes. And he is unbelievable at doing that.
He is, especially in these events. So next I will talk about John Rahm. I have just a simple 3-letter word written down on our cheat sheet here for the show. And I don't think I'm going to be convinced otherwise. I believe John Rahm is going to win this week. I think he joins the clan of major champions. I think his game is in superb form. I don't think the little COVID blip in the radar is going to cost him anything this week. And he sets up perfectly for this course. So all systems go for me and John Rahm. I know that in the betting market, maybe his odds to win are not as good as we should, but on DraftKings, he's not priced that highly, Abant, and even going over to FanDuel, same thing, Ben. I don't find it that hard to get him into a lineup.
Neither do I, and he is the favorite. He should be the favorite. I think he's a pretty bad bet because the odds have been really slashed, but that's a different concept. On the DFS side of things, you can put him in. There's an opportunity cost, of course, when you're paying 11K, but I mean, what else could he have done? He's playing unbelievably well. The only thing that he was missing this year was a win. He would have got that. I think it's pretty obvious that it, barring something ridiculous, a Memorial, the stock would even be higher if he didn't have that miraculous withdrawal. So this is a good course for him. We've seen it. What's there to say? He is the favorite for a reason. I guess the question is how much are you sacrificing though? Because if you do play him, you're probably not going to be able to play some of the guys that you want in the 9K range.
Truthfully, unless Eric Van Rooyen comes in the top 20 in this event, it's going to be hard to stack more than 2 golfers above 8,500 with John Rahm. You do it with 1. I've tried it a lot with Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele. I'm sure like a lot of people have. It's not as hard, but if you want to put that third golfer above 8,000 or 8,500 in there, it gets rather difficult. Like I said, you're going to have to rely on the Eric Van Rooyen types to get it done, which of course is, you know, it's not typically been the best bet, at least in the last little bit. So leaves just Bryson DeChambeau to talk about. I can say quickly on Spieth, I think this is the most egregious price I've seen from Spieth in the last 2 years. I mean, this is crazy. It's not even a good golf course. He has no good history here. He's not playing his best, and he's still number 2 on the board. That it's giving Spieth a little too much credit, in my opinion, being the biggest Spieth truther on the market. But it brings us to Bryson, who isn't playing that well. Do you have any interest there at 10,400?
I mean, I get it. Bryson's Bryson. Not a ton of interest, certainly not a priority. I respect and listen, he's proven that this can work last year at the US Open. He's going to try it again. It seems like he's going to be very aggressive off the tee, and his strategy is, well, if we're all in the rough, I'm going to be a lot closer than everyone else. Yep. And maybe he can get, with his irons or whatnot, they're all the same length and all that nonsense. It seems to work. It seems to have some merit. I do think that the USGA will be specifically ready to try to combat that a little more this year. And Bryson, people forget, even though that was very effective, his short game and his putting were fantastic. And sure, that is always the key with him. I'm not super sold on it. I do have a little Bryson in the pool, but certainly would prefer to get the 800 to Rahm or to bump down to the nines.
Yeah, and I got to point out, I'm smiling because I saw Greg in the chat mention Chan Kim, and it's like the fifth person in the last 20 minutes that's mentioned Chan Kim to me. I understand.
Yeah, yeah. 60. This is, I'm not going to say it's not like Kyle Stanley. I don't want to make right. like it is, but clearly people are going to say, oh my, you know, 6,100, this guy just made the cut at the PGA. Let me
click. I think he might have even been as part of an optimal build with 71 and a half points, an eagle and 16 birdies. Jeez. Anyways, yeah, I get it, Greg. I totally understand. So, all right, let's just move down the board a little bit here. And I think we're going to get a lot of high-owned guys coming up now. The 9,500 to, I'll even say, 8,800. We're getting almost every single golfer, 18%, 20%. Now, that does leave two other guys, which we'll get to in a second. But of the golfers that are, say, 16% or more, Ben, is there anybody in this top end that you're fading from, say, Morikawa all the way down to Finau?
Morikawa all the way down to Finau. So, this is the range. The 9K range and Finau is just loaded. I truly think you can make a case for every single player, you know, certainly to be in your pool. And if you told me that was your winner, I wouldn't push back. The one guy, and again, I'm not full fading any of these guys, Hovland to me, as good as he is, I kind of softened on it a little, thinking that maybe around the green it's elevated, his putter comes and goes. Tee to green is amazing, but what's there to say? Everybody else checks out. Xander is going to be very, very chalky, but I like the fit. I like the spot a lot for him.
Me too. And listen, we're splitting hairs a little bit with these guys. They're yes. some of the best in the world. But if you want to see if there's any difference between, say, Ben and I on who we like for GPPs, or even say if we're on the same guys or have them ranked in the same spot, one of the best tools to do that is our Pro Plays tool. I was just updating it before Ben and I came on the air. And of course, it is part of our Osmo Plus package, which if you guys are not a member, well, we've got a great little promo here. All you got to do is use the promo code PGA Live Before Lock for 15% off your first week of Osmo Plus. Of course, if you're just looking to play PGA DFS, then you can sign up now for our Osmo Plus PGA weekly package, just $8.95. So stop guessing, start winning. Join us today. And Ben, it's not just the DFS and the ownership projections and the point projections. Betting content is really ramping up over here. So we're enjoying it. And typically that yields pretty good results as well.
Well said. Yeah, there's a lot of ways when you're doing this research to get exposure to these golfers. Of course, there's a DFS component, but there's other ways to do it as well. And sometimes that's where even a bigger edge can be. So we like to keep those options open and provide you different scenarios for where you can take advantage.
So let me give you one scenario of a guy that I was thinking of fading this week that has done superbly in majors. He is the perennial bridesmaid. He made a video singing about it. But I was thinking that if we maybe get the miscut here this week, that I'd rather fade him in DFS and just try and get paid on the top five bet. And I'm talking about Louis Oosthuizen. Can you follow my theory here saying that I would get more leverage on the 20%+ ownership? And really, if he comes in the top 10, it is a break even at his price, but a miscut, I'm going to gain a ton of leverage, especially in some single entry things.
So a couple of things about the US Open, you got 156 in terms of the field to a top 60. This is a really difficult cut to make. And that makes chalk, no matter who it is, that much more lucrative to fade. It doesn't mean you want to fade it blindly, but when you're talking about the betting side of things, chalk, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who else is betting Louis. Yeah, it can move the number a little, but that's not really what you're evaluating. So I do think Shane Lowry, Louis, there's a couple other guys that yeah. you can look to possibly unloading some of your exposure and hope maybe, you know, a miscut or anything like that, your bet is dead, but it's more binary. Whereas you just mentioned it on the DFS side, you could kill 30% of single entries with some of those guys. And that is a huge, huge leg up.
Especially Lowry and Oosthuizen. Those are the two guys that I kind of had earmarked, which again, understand the plays. I totally get it, but your leverage on fading that lower price chalk just becomes so significant, especially if their pivots, which we'll get to here in a minute, end up performing pretty well. So those are two guys I want to talk to you about, a strategy that I'm using. Another guy that hasn't performed well in majors that I like to discuss now is Ty Hatton. He's starting to do better. And, you know, I think it was T2 last week, actually. and didn't putt well. So are you ready to buy into Ty Hatton, ready to take the next step in his career?
I am, in the sense that Ty Hatton, you know, he seemed to just be crushing everything outside majors, and slowly he seems to be getting better and making some cuts at, you know, made the cut at Augusta, came in 18th, made the cut at the PGA, 38th. Ball striking is good. I think he can certainly handle this course. The price is fair. It's just a tough range, though. Connors is there. Berger is there. We've mentioned Scheffler and Will Z. I do like Hatton over most of those guys, but it's not to say that there aren't pivots or that he's in a dead range, because that's just not the case.
No, totally agree. Now, on the Zalatoris Scheffler, if you can only have one, who are you taking this week? I'm leaning Willie Z.
I'm not going to have a ton of interest in either, to be honest. I mostly got to Webb or to Finau.
Webb?
Yeah, Webb in builds where I did build a couple where I Webb's got a formula, and I don't really believe in it, but it speaks for itself at the US Open. He has a formula that he will sacrifice the distance to stay in the fairway, and he'll handle it. And he's done that time and time again. I think if I had to go between the two, I'd go to Will Z, specifically with those iron builds. He's so good from over 200 yards. That could come in handy. I don't love the price on either of them. Mostly up to Decky, Finau, Webb, or punting down to Tyrell Hatton in the 8K range.
I'm pretty much on board there, except for the Webb. And it's not to say that I don't believe in his strategy that you just suggested. It's actually believing that the form is not going to be able to yield the results from that strategy. He's been injured. He hasn't, you know, it's been a little while since we've seen him on that top end form, where Hideki, you know, he just took down the Masters. And while the form hasn't been great since then, he did a lot of traveling. We've seen some flashes. But now I want to talk about Finau. He's going to be highly owned. He's made seven straight top 25s here at Torrey Pines. And the guy just continually gets it done in majors, regardless of his form. It's almost like he's a mini Brooks Koepka. He's not winning, but he's coming in the top 10 every time. Does that have you more inclined to play him? Because it does me this week. I know he's chalky, but I think I'd rather play him over Shane Lowry at similar type ownership. I think that's what I'm getting to, at least. I know different prices, of course, but same reasoning.
Yeah, I'm with you. Finau is someone that I, of course, do I wish he was lower owned? Yeah, but it's not going to deter me from what I'm trying to do there. So, and I just want to be clear, I'm not like jamming Webb or anything. He's just someone that normally I have 0% of, and that's not the case this week. I think there's some opportunities there on specific builds. But Tony Finau, listen, everything outside wins, this guy, he's doing it. He's played great golf. Lately, he's been automatic. He's been plus tee to green 8 strokes or more in 3 straight events. Just needs the putter to cooperate. Going out to California with the POA, maybe that neutralizes. I like him. I think he's going to be chalky, but it's warranted.
So who would you say is going to be your most underweight in this range?
Where are we going?
We can go up to Morikawa all the way down to Ty Hatton. There's a couple of guys that we'd obviously throw out there.
Berger. He's a fine player, but I think he's more suited for a technical track. We've seen him, you know, the St. Jude's of the world, those type of courses, more Florida or the Southeast. This is not that per se. Now, when you say, what about Webb? So when I play Webb, I'm much more inclined to play Berger on a team like that. Yep. But for the most part, I think that's not the priority in this range. There's a lot of better players than them.
Yeah, I don't know if I clicked Berger one time in the lineups that I've made so far. So no surprise, Webb would be my second guy. What I think the results will yield this week from Torrey Pines. So just interesting stuff there. So now we get into the leverage portion of this, where, of course, with all that high ownership, there's got to be a couple of guys that are going maybe under talked about or not talked about at all. The first guys we'll talk about will go up to the top of this price range with Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas. Both of them coming in maybe around 10% at below 10,000. Ben, that's definitely the first time I'm saying those words in a major in quite some time.
Yeah, that's a kind of a head turner. Particularly Rory is the most interesting play on the entire slate, because it's just such a weird ride. He misses the cut at Augusta, which is just like inconceivable. I honestly don't think he'll do that for another decade. Mm-hmm. Then he wins at Wells Fargo. And now his driver is like the worst I've seen in a long time. Not that he's bleeding strokes, but he's basically gaining 0. And that's so unlike Rory. So I don't know where he's at. JT to me is a lot simpler. He's playing great. He just can't putt. He has to flip the putter. If he does, I think JT is very live to win. And I'm banking that he is going to flip the putter this week and be much better and much more crisp than we've seen lately.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. So no doubt about that. Now, do you like tagging both of them in the same lineup? Or do you think that you're paying too much for guys that are struggling in different departments of their game?
I don't have a – listen, they're two world-class players, so I don't have a problem with it. I will say I don't have any lineups right now. I haven't finished just yet, but so far I don't have any lineups that have both of them. And it's more – kind of what you're saying, you know, Rory's got the off the tee issues and JT's got the putting issues. There's so many other ways to construct. If you play them together, you're canceling Cantlay and Reed and Finau types. Most likely, I like those guys a lot, Xander included. So it's an opportunity cost that I wasn't willing to take on the same lineup.
Okay. So I want to step back a second. And now we talked about at the top of the show, Ben, the monkey knife fight bet of the week, prop of the week, correct?
We did.
It's actually going to be of the day because we're doing for round one. Well, a great way to get a little bit of cashola to bet on that tomorrow is pretty simple. Go to Monkey Knife Fight tonight, and they're offering a free MLB game. All you got to do is predict whether Clayton Kershaw and Zach Wheeler will have more or less than 7.5 strikeouts. Pretty easy, right? Correctly predict the two and get $18. Going to turn that around. Put that on the under of Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, and Bryson DeChambeau. Turn that into a pretty quick 72, if my math is correct. If it's not, you guys can give me a dislike for it. But if it's correct, I think you should give me a like for it. It's pretty quickly on the whim there. But regardless, definitely check that out. And of course, remember, deposit bonus, $100 by using promo code AWESOMO there. So let's move on to one of my favorite sections I haven't been able to do in quite some time, Ben. The Make the Cut segment. Now, I've grouped all of these golfers we're going to talk about into specific groups where they kind of mirror each other for one way or the other. I've got some fun ones like short hitters we'll talk about first. Abraham Answer and Matthew Fitzpatrick. Is this golf course, the way it's going to be set up this week, too big for these guys, or will the firmness help them at least get to the weekend?
So I like the way you did this because I think as you work down to the second half of the salaries, you need to start thinking more and more of like, okay, how do these guys survive? What can they do? And here you go. Two hitters that they want it to be firm. They want some rollout. They need to put in a premium on fairways. And I think both of them can do that. Answer's been automatic. Fitzy's been a little hit or miss, but he can roll it so well. If he makes his fair share of putts, I think these guys can make the weekend. And honestly, again, this is a tournament more than ever. We always want 6-6, but you get 6-6 here. I don't care how bad they are. You're going to be in contention because you're going to have not, it could be under 1%.
You just have no idea what's going to happen at the US Opens. I will never forget Shinnecock Hills, the year that they basically lost the golf course on Saturday and Tony Finau and Daniel Berger squeaked through the cut and were 1-2 on the board after the day, or at least both in the top five. I'll never forget that. You are absolutely alive with 6-6 in the US Open, no matter what happens. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Next two guys. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was gonna say at Erin Hills, I vividly remember there was literally dozens of people with 6-6 in large fields tournaments. There was like, it was no one made it. And Xander and Trey Mullinax were from the clouds. Yeah. It's a weird tournament that we don't see. So just consolidating on trying to get some guys through. I know we always try to do that, but even now more than ever.
Yeah. And listen, when you have, you know, 80 basically qualifiers come from all walks of the professional golfing world, you'll get that. But that's what I love. That's the lure of the tournament for me here.
It's great.
Trying to figure out the pieces to this puzzle are always a blast. Two pieces that probably won't find a lot of my lineups, but are certainly volatile and could help people win. Tommy Fleetwood has been in bad form, and Sam Burns, he just seemed very overwhelmed at Kiowa. And whether he was hurt or not is probably another story, but both volatile are either going to play the weekend.
I'm going to say that Fleetwood can get through. Sam Burns, I get if you wanted to put him in Millie lineups here and there, but if you do, you want the winning score to be like 10 under maybe, which is be pretty lofty. I don't see any way that Sam Burns is built to shoot in this, you know, 73 every day and contend. It just, that's not his style. He's a birdie maker, not a grinder.
Totally agree. Phil Mickelson, can he get us to the weekend?
No. Okay. So yes. Chad, I put this out, PGA Contenders video, me and Josh Engelman, you should go check that along with Mr. Roslin's best bets, value, sleeper videos. We have them all very quick. I also put out a tweet just for some fun today. My number one bet on the entire week, because I like you guys and because you're hitting the like button, Phil Mickelson missing the cut is plus 120. I cannot believe this. I thought this would be minus 175-ish range. I am stunned that Phil is a favorite to make a cut like this at a course that is going to just destroy him. I know that Phil did the impossible, but I don't see any way that Phil makes the cut.
I mean, I can't disagree with you here, Ben. It's if this guy misses a couple of fairways, that it's big time trouble. Now, I mean, playing with, you know, people from Southern California, it's a good pairing. I'm not going to lie. He's going to get a lot of support regardless. I'm not going to fade you on that bet, though. I just can't. I really think the magic beans were turned in at the PGA.
All of them. Yeah, for the world. He used the world's magic beans. Like, we could have – the pandemic wouldn't be – he's consolidated all things to get that performance. If he does it again, I will say, if Phil wins the U.S. Open, I will officially retire. It's been a real run for me, but I'm not meant for this.
Phil, don't do that to us.
That's not going to happen. We don't need to worry. You're going to be stuck with me for a while.
We need Ben here. All right. I got another pack of guys that I believe are all underpriced. Now, maybe that's based on a little bit of form that's in the distant past with Joaquin Niemann and Sergio Garcia, but maybe more recently, Jason Kokrak and Gary Woodland certainly have played better. And then I throw Sungjae Im in there. I thought he was broken, but then all of a sudden he made the cut and played much better. Here's the difference. First, I'll say, I think that Im, Kokrak, and Woodland all make the cut. I think Niemann is going to continue to struggle a little bit right now. I think it's a little, just he's not in great form. Sergio Garcia's major form is atrocious since the win at Augusta. So I think it's tough to say. However, for Sungjae Im versus Joaquin Niemann, can you explain why one has four times the ownership of the other and there's not much difference in their form?
Yeah, it is a little confusing. Niemann's just been a weird situation all year. He had the longest made cut streak on tour that just ended. Yep. His around the green game started to turn around, and now it's worse than ever. He's putting tremendous strain on his irons, and at a course like this, I think we all know that, you know, you're going to need to be timely and try to get up and down even for bogey at times. And I worry about Niemann specifically with that. I think he's better than Sam Burns, but I put him in the Sam Burns bucket. If you play him, you want streaks to be a factor. You want bonuses to be a factor. You want birdies because he scores really well. I don't think he's built to grind it out just yet.
Agreed. Now, question about Jason Kokrak. The guy learned how to putt and he's a different player. He may be high owned this week, Ben, but this is one guy I don't want to fade here. I just think he's been better than, say, a Shane Lowry at the same price and similar ownership. Maybe not Louis. Louis has been very consistent, but he's $500 more. But he's the guy that I don't want to fade of the three highest owned below 8,000 or 8,100, I should say.
What can you say? He's been playing really, really good golf. The putter has helped a lot, and his around the green is also pretty weak. It's not as weak as Niemann's. But this is a guy that I think on paper makes a lot of sense with Kokrak. He's a good driver of the ball. And the putting is, I mean, when you putt like that, a lot of guys' games are going to make a turn. So if he sustains that, definitely. But you've got Woodland there. You've certainly got Lowry, who's going to be very, very popular. And then I don't know what to do with Sergio. I have the smallest amount. He's just been so bad. I think his drive can keep him in it. But as you mentioned, talk about using all your magic beans for one tournament. Ever since he put on a green jacket, he's been terrible.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you just real quickly. It's an interesting conversation that was just brought up. And I think for me, the answer is contest specific a little bit. It was Will Zalatoris and Jason Kokrak or Rory McIlroy and Chan Kim. Here we go again with this Chan Kim guy. In most contests, I got to be honest, I'm picking Zalatoris and Kokrak. I'm very high on both of those. I know Chan Kim just came into a T23 at the PGA. We've already discussed that. For me, if it was a $10 Millie Maker, okay, maybe I'll do Rory and Chan. But if it's any other contest, I'm not. I just can't. How about you, Ben?
Yeah, I think that. So the reason that I like it is, to me, the obviously Rory's the best and Chan Kim's the worst. And so it's a 1-4 versus 2-3, which is a very natural, you know, 50-50. But I think that Will Z and Kokrak are closer to beating Rory than Chan Kim is to beating them. That's the simplest way I can sum it up. Now, in big field tournaments, the volatility can take over, but I don't really see the need to, unless you're in a real bad situation, to go down to 61.
Agreed. Now, next group of guys I'm going to talk about is good course history. All four of them. I'll even throw you a start with Lee Westwood. Little known fact, 2008 U.S. Open, Westwood had a putt of about 14 feet to get into that playoff with Mediate and Woods. Could have changed the course of history there, right? But of course, as Lee Westwood has done so many times in majors, he has missed the putt, came in a T3. Still pretty good result, given the fact that the Lee Westwood that we know probably does set up well for this course, but he's 49. He turned in some magic beans, as he even basically said in his press conference today, for his second place and third place earlier in the year that got him a PGA Tour card for the next 2 years. So, Ben, of the course history guys, I said Westwood. I'll throw out Mark Leishman, a winner here, Adam Scott, a couple of top 10s, and Max Homa, a couple of top 20s. Of those four guys, do they all make the weekend, or do a couple of them go packing?
I think a couple of them go packing. Unfortunately, okay. I do think Lee Westwood, who I like a lot and root for, he's kind of he used up all his run good a little bit, and this course may be a tough test. Leishman is the other one. When Leishman won at Farmers, he hit virtually no fairways.
Zero.
That's not going to work. I'm not utterly smart, but I'm smart enough to realize that if he does that here, it's just not going to work. I think Max Homa is my favorite of the four. He's playing well. Good driver, California guy. He's got Quail Hollow splits, Genesis splits, and as you mentioned, he seems to like Farmers as well.
Not to mention, he's going to be probably less than 10% in most contests, especially the $10 Millie. And even pretty much any Millie, I'd expect him, even as you go up to the $4,000 one, I expect him under 10%. I think he's a very, very good play, very solid play at 7,300 this week, at least. Given the fact that when you look at the tail of the tape, sure, he's got some miscuts in there, Ben, but he's giving you that upside when he gets to the weekend. That's all we could ask for at 7,300. We don't have to burn a lot of salary there. So I love that. Adam Scott turned it around finally at the Memorial. His putting hasn't been the problem. It's been off the tee. And if that trend continues this week, he will struggle. But if he fixed it at the Memorial, is he back in play for you?
So if you fixed it, I mean, Adam Scott is someone we just don't have a ton of data lately on him because he's been very selective in where he's played. And that's a guy that, you know, to speak of some of our premium tools, I always love to check in on we have the unofficial world golf rankings, which Alex developed, and certainly you had a hand in as well. And I like to check on the guys that are kind of those veterans to see, is their form in the Henrik Stenson bucket, or are they still maybe undervalued a little bit? So I do think Scott has some potential, but you know, on small field, single entries, he still didn't get there for me.
Now I got the questionables group of Siwoo Kim, Billy Horschel, and Harris English. Certainly the latter of that, English, had a chance last week. In fact, at one point was probably the favorite to win the tournament before a terrible stretch to close the tournament. He might have even finished outside of the top 10, Ben, and had a chance to win there on Sunday. So of those three, do any make the weekend? And if so, who? And are you playing any?
You labeled it nicely.
Yeah.
Questionables, man. I think here again, you know, $10 millies, you can look to these guys, but I'm going to try to consolidate more to Max Homa, to, you know, we're going to talk about these guys in a second. Brandon Grace is there. Hoffman is there. I think they fit a little better. So it's not to say anything like Billy Ho can't get going or Harris English, but I think I'm going to use my flyers elsewhere this week.
Making a push for one of the best golfing countries in the world, I got to be honest right now, is South Africa. I mean, with Louis Oosthuizen being so good, Garrick Higo has come out of nowhere and is a threat on the global stage in the game of golf right now. It's crazy to think about. Christian Bezuidenhout never misses a weekend. Then you got Brandon Grace, who's had a career resurgence this year. So a ton of great names. I haven't even mentioned a guy that hits the ball 750 yards, Wilco Nienaber, also here. So of all those South Africans, we can leave Louis out. And then I've got one of your favorites, Charles Schwartzel, who I didn't even bring up. All those guys, give me a couple that you're going to play and it'll make all 4 days, and a couple that won't play all 4 days this week.
You know, the amazing thing is my two favorite South Africans outside of Louis are EVR and Fertelli, who they're just in horrible, horrible form. It's terribly unfortunate. But so Brandon Grace, I still think, as many people know, you know, he's kind of a notorious US Open guy. He's had his chances there. I think Chambers Bay, amongst others, he's built for that. Keeps it low, playing pretty well. He really looked good at Memorial. He's doing a lot with the short game, and I, that is a little concern. I want to talk about Higo for a second, though. He was looking like he was going to be extremely popular, and now it's starting to come down. I don't really like the play, but I will say it's a lot easier to get him in when he's 8% owned than 20%. If he was 20% owned, I think it was a pretty easy fade. No. If he's if he's in the single digits, I still may not get a ton because I don't like the play, but it's a lot more reasonable to play him, in my opinion.
I mean, I hate to try and get in the mind of these golfers because, you know, this kid's 22 years old and it's no easy for me to do that. I got to be honest. But if I'm sitting here thinking like, oh, well, you know, I just won a PGA Tour tournament. I've got my card for the next 2 years. I've got a million plus in the bank. I literally probably have to never worry about a thing in life again. That could go one of two ways, right? That could lead right into good form here at the US Open. Clearly, his ball striking, he is the Colin Morikawa of the European Tour at this point with his irons. It's incredible when he gets hot with them. So, listen, I don't hate it. I just still would rather play Max Homa, and it's only $100 more to do that. So that's where I've gone in most cases down there. Although the couple guys that are also having really quality years, not as good as Higo, but Matt Walsh, Charlie Hoffman, Kevin Streelman, Ben, all good golfers in this range, probably why Higo's ownership has come down and probably why we don't have as much interest in him.
Yeah. Again, a lot of these guys, when you get down here, small edges, ownership, it tells the tale. And like I said, Higo for me is someone I do think there's elements where he could struggle. But at the same time, we talk about this often, and I strongly believe this, and it was proven last week. When you're talking about guys that no one knows about to an extent, Higo might just be amazing, and he showed last week he's got that in him. And this other guy, this mega bomber, maybe these guys are that good, or they're wildly inflated. It's usually one of the two, and that's kind of the balance you have to take with guys that we don't have long-term data on.
Yeah, it is
this tough. Other guy, he really does hit it like 370. It's pretty impressive.
It really is. He has. Bryson has touched 200 miles per hour swing speed or ball speed. Oh, I'm sorry, ball speed. Once, Nienaber does it at least once a tournament. So this kid is in the elite distance bucket. But here's the difference between Congaree and Torrey Pines. Congaree doesn't have rough. Like it just didn't have it. So the top 14, although a great start, that's awesome. I hope this kid makes it because, I mean, he is fun to watch. This week, it'll be interesting to watch him hit these iron shots out of the rough when clearly he's not going to hit every fairway. There's just no chance. So at 6,900, I don't mind him. And it is a pretty good segue into deep dives. But one more grouping before I do. Some randos here at the bottom of 7K. Carlos Ortiz, Ian Poulter, and Bob McIntyre. Just three names that I've played this year, so I thought I'd bring them up with you. Bobby Mack hasn't missed a cut in a major start yet, so that's, he's got that going for him. Ian Poulter, perennial grinder. And Carlos Ortiz had been playing better, but I think this is probably too big of a course and stage.
Yeah, Carlos Ortiz, honestly, would be the guy I'd look to because he's been playing really well. I don't know if he's there yet. He's played in, I think, six majors, and his best finish is like, you know, in the 50-50 range. So he's done really nothing so far with these steps up, and I worry about that a little bit. So it's not a range that I'm in love with. I think Ryan Palmer is kind of interesting. And Palmer's, I think Henley as a complete flyer, just because he's someone, again, looking at our tools for the long term, he's been identified as someone that maybe when he pops, he really pops. And I like to take those risks.
Yeah, I don't mind Ryan Palmer. He's still making cuts. Finally had a little bit of upside last week. So Palmer is a name I have clicked a few times. I will say, I'm not going to lie to you, Ben. I've clicked the numbers name a few times. But
going with the bomber.
When I do, though,
Bryson,
I think to myself, not only should I be playing Bryson, but why shouldn't I be playing Erik van Rooyen, who looks like he had a break in his form? Medalist at the U.S. Open qualifying, parlayed that into a top 10 at Congaree. Maybe, Ben?
I mean, yeah, he's starting to show form. He destroyed the tee box, and then he
got suspended, my conspiracy theory.
Oh, there's always room for one of your conspiracy theories in the show. So just like
got a 2-week suspension. Maybe that's my theory.
Maybe he's back and forth. See, the thing about EVR, I know he's really been hurting people, including me.
Me too.
EVR, you know, zoom out a little bit. This was a guy that's done some really good work against fields certainly as strong as this. He's got top 10 in a major. He's made the cut at a U.S. Open. He's been there and done that. So I don't mind it. I do want to say, I think the other name that you would look to, and to me, this would be a two mistake of going too theme heavy, would be Cam Champ, because he fits exactly what you're talking about. But to me, his form is so bad that he can't hold it together.
I think I'd rather go to somebody who's got a similar type build to what we're doing, certainly on the distance driving side, and is in better form than Champ, would be Wyndham Clark. He's in at 6,800 as we go to our deep dives here. And of course, make sure you give us a like and subscribe so we can keep up with all of our shows. So you can. Of course, and our offers and so much more. Ben and I are putting out some really good short form content, a great way to make a couple of lineups based off of a couple of minutes of research. Plus the betting side with Josh there. You guys did a great contenders video that Josh has taken over from his NBA stuff and now moved it into PGA for the majors. I love it. It's a good way to consume that. So be sure to like and subscribe to our channel. Easiest way to get notified about these. So, Ben, as we talk about a couple of other deep dives, Wyndham Clark is definitely a name I've clicked on, but the cheapest name that I'm actually comfortable with rostering this week, and a name I haven't heard much, is Brendan Steele. 15 of 18 this year, has a pretty good track record around Torrey Pines. Pretty good track record in the state of California as well, if you really want to bring that in. But he's having a pretty good year in 6,500. If you're playing him in, let's say, the $100 or a single entry or the higher dollar buy-ins as you go up, I think he can really help you. Now, will he help you win the $10 GPP against 296,000? Maybe not. But I think there's a spot for him on certain rosters, especially at 6,500.
That name stuck out too. I mean, again, a product of a guy who's got certainly more pedigree than most down here. He's making cuts, not great results. Needs to fix the driver a little bit, but I didn't mind that. I think one other guy that fits with the theme, Johnny Vegas, who's been driving it immaculately, 6,800. That's a good number for him. EVR, we mentioned. Boy, I want to ask you about this because you have a good feel on this guy. He is a complete opposite of what we've been talking. Do you think that Chez possibly found something? He was 14th last week at Palmetto or whatever the hell the place was called. Yep. Plus 4.5 on the approach. I don't know. Chez kind of likes difficult conditions. Maybe he can kind of plot his way around something like a U.S. Open. And we've seen, you know, Chez came in third at a U.S. Open just a couple of years ago.
Right up the street. Well, maybe not right up the street, probably, but definitely up one of the nicest highways in the world right there, Mr. Klein, right up the Pacific Coast Highway up to Pebble. Did Chez Reavie do that? So to answer your question, yes, Ben, I've clicked his name quite a bit at 6,800. He's a form golfer. And the fact that we're starting to see really good signs, like Van Rooyen was medalist in that big field at the U.S. Open qualifying, has done well. If I needed somebody and had clicked Van Rooyen's name in a previous lineup or Clark's name in a previous lineup, I went right to Reavie. I thought given the people he's around and given his success in this golf tournament, I think it's fine. I know that Pebble Beach is like, you know, 1,000 yards shorter here than Torrey Pines.
This is true.
Very different golf course, but still I think Reavie's skill set can hold up at least through two rounds to get us to the weekend. So he is another name that I clicked down here. How about a couple of other ones right at 6,800? Bernd Wiesberger, he went over to Europe and won. It's just kind of what he does, right? So does he come back here to the States and do anything for us? Or how about Guido runner-up Migliozzi?
Yeah, so this is kind of where I wanted to go, and this is why we got the good synergy. I want to talk about these Euro guys because a lot of these guys came over qualified. They've got some pedigree. And, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, he goes playing a lot better than all these guys, but some of them have been in contention. Guido has been double runner-up, Bernd just won. I worry about Wiesberger off the tee. It's pretty weak, and if you're short end in the rough, I think you can kind of forget it. But I'm going to throw out one more name for you, another Euro. What about Jordan Smith, who is a guy that, you know, not breaking through. It's just making cuts, though. He knows what he's doing. He's got some experience in bigger tournaments. Sub 1% at 6,600. Jordan Smith is in my player pool.
Yeah, he's a guy that if you, you know, dabble in the Euro streets a little bit, you've definitely seen his name. He's a guy that, you know, almost like a Brendan Steele of the European Tour, right? Just a guy that you can probably rely on to play all four rounds and score pretty well. Of course, the profile, you'd have to dig into the European stats. We have absolutely nothing for him over here.
Yeah.
But just a quick note on the strokes gained off the tee. He is 15th on that tour. So clearly, you know, that is something that would be a considered strong suit. I'm just going to look at his driving distance just while we're here. He's 52nd on the tour, averages over 303 yards. So kind of fits a decent profile. I can understand why you'd want to put him in the player pool this week. 6,400, is that where he's at?
He's 6,600. Okay. But this is a guy, again, he's got a top 10 in a major. He's played in majors. He's got a good combination of total driving. He's making cuts over in Europe. Again, is Jordan Smith going to determine my fate? No, definitely not. But you got to do something down here. And he is someone that I think don't just cross him off wildly just yet.
I think I'd maybe rather play him over Dietrich at this point. I'm talking Euros, but I'm just going to do a quick 180 because we're talking about guys at 6,600. And I'm just going to ask you, because you played him with me this year. I don't know that you played him at Wells Fargo with me, going down the worst around the green performance I have ever seen in my life.
Justin Suh,
however you want to pronounce it. South California kid, went to USC. I mean, he's in like fourth, five lineups for me. Not going to lie to you.
I don't know what to really make. You know, Wells Fargo was insanely bad. It just got away from
me. I know him. I'm better around the green than he was that week. I know.
Yeah, well, I might be. And I don't really even understand how people get, you know, my around the green game is just pick the ball up. So I probably am, because if that's legal, you gain a lot of strokes like that. It seems like he's more suited to these like kind of coastal tracks that, you know, we've seen him against weaker fields and whatnot. I like Justin Suh. I just don't know if he's ready. To me, give me a European player that's played against, you know, who's been in contention a little more seasoned before I'd go there.
Yeah, a couple. And chat, I love this part of the show, because every name is on the board. We don't say no to anybody. So if you got somebody you want to talk about, we're willing to talk about it. One that was just brought up is Jimmy Walker. Listen, I know what he went through with Lyme disease firsthand. I can tell you he is playing better. Not the golf course for me to play Jimmy Walker on. With that being said, do I want to play Akshay Bhatia at $6,400, $100 cheaper? Probably, but that's just because he's another one of the degenerate guys I like to play right now. But do you think that there's a spot here for Bhatia to possibly, you know, get closer to a PGA Tour card with a top 10, or is it just way too big of a stage for the kid?
I say kid
because he's still a teenager.
Yeah, I think it's probably that. It's one of these situations. You've got Thiegele, you've got Dylan Wu, you've got Bhatia, you've got a lot of them. I wouldn't be stunned to see one play well, but good luck trying to decipher
which one,
who it is. Taylor Pendrith is another name that people are throwing out. Yep. I have some interest in him a little bit. I see it. I put a bet on him as low Canadian, actually, just because I think that field's pretty weak there. 6,500, another guy you could get to.
Yeah, and here's a guy that on the Korn Ferry Tour has been performing very well, but people might forget that he actually got into the Farmers Field. I don't know if it was a Monday qualifier or a sponsor, came in the top 25. So definitely like Pendrith, who's all but assured to join the PGA Tour next year. So we're getting maybe a little bit of a glimpse there. 6,500. Again, I didn't click his name that much because Brendan Steele, for me, obviously incredible, much more proven than Pendrith. Now, Pendrith might be a better golfer long-term. Still, Steele for me was the one I clicked there. However, after Bhatia, I will be honest, there was not a lot of names that I got to. I researched them all. I couldn't really get to any. Chan Kim was the name that's been brought up so many times at 6,100 to me. I'll click him a couple times, but Ben, we don't know anything about this guy, really. The PGA Championship is unbelievable. But we get one of those every major. Jazz Jenna Wantanand at the PGA Championship at Bethpage is another example that I can come up with.
Yeah, Hao Tong Lee when he made that crazy run.
Oh, at the Open Championship.
He can't make a cut to save his life. It happens.
So here's what I want from you as we go into our hot takes. Who is that going to be this week?
So what I'm going to do, I do want to ask you, because I don't think it's going to be this guy, but I want to make sure, because chat, we love you guys. Who the hell is Cameron Young? Because I've seen this name more than once. Yeah. That's your department, not mine.
So it may, it definitely is maybe in our history have been a little bit more to my department than yours. But I will say that this is, I hate to say that the one of the good reasons to join our Slack channel is for everybody in there. I'd like to say it's just for me and you, Ben, right? But that's not the case. Other people bring a lot to the table as well. And this is one that somebody knew much more information than me. In fact, I think Gangrene, he might be even in here tonight, has been bringing up Cameron Young for a couple of weeks, had a back-to-back wins on the Korn Ferry Tour, talked about how he had gone through a lot of medical stuff in the last couple of years, but is a really highly potential golfer. Both of his parents played the game. And obviously when you win back-to-back weeks on any professional tour that's rated by the OWGR, you've got some stuff going. So at 6,800, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know much about him, and I took a look, and things certainly seem to be looking good, and he doesn't need much else to get his PGA Tour card, so definitely get used to the name.
I wish he was cheaper. At 6,800, I'm just not. I would rather play guys that I know, Johnny Vegas specifically, but we'll keep an eye on it. I mean, Will Z and many others have proven some of these guys, they're no joke, and when they get their opportunities, they're ready to go.
For sure. So before we go into hot takes, Ben, I wanted to bring up a segment here, and it's Dr. Ben, and now I've seen the lab coat come on. I'm not going to force you to bring out the lab coat, but I did want to talk to you about a specific betting scenario this week. And, you know, with betting becoming more legal across the United States, we absolutely love that, of course, everywhere here. Being able to do what we want to do is important. But also it comes with understanding the landscape a little bit more. It's not just DFS where, you know, like we've talked about before, it's, you know, you're picking a player and the return can be seen automatically. Well, there's a bet this week that I want you to kind of explain to me how many times I need to win it to be profitable. So Xander Schauffele, who I think both you and I agree is a pretty good course fit. He always has been. Maybe the results haven't been there in the past. While Jordan Spieth on the other side, this is probably not a good course fit for him. Though the tournament matchup this week is minus 152 for Schauffele, Spieth is plus 105. So if I want to bet Schauffele, how many times do I need to have him win that contest to actually be profitable in this environment?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that we're trying to get more specific with that when we talk about these matchups and whatnot, because of course there's juice associated with it. And you need to know where your break even is. So when you're looking at minus 150, it's going to be 60%. So really what you're evaluating is very simple. If you think that the guy's going to win that matchup more than 60%, that's going to be a good bet. If you think it's less, the key here, this is what I want to clarify. A lot of people, they do this. I think it's going to be less than 60%. I'll bet the other guy. Well, no. You have to factor in the juice. It doesn't mean that Spieth gets the other side of that. You look at his number and he's going to be around, you know, just slightly less than a coin flip at that plus money. But you have to factor that in of shopping those odds. And that's one of the many things with Odd Shopper and some of the tools that we're providing that you need to get into the habit of doing. So with a matchup like that, I would definitely be with you on the Xander side. I do think that he's going to win that more than that clip. I would hope to try to find maybe a little better, because if you do shrink the odds, say you bring it down to 140, now you've gained a couple of percent. He has to win that, you know, in the 57, 58% range. And you don't think that makes a difference. But it does, believe me, over time, you steal that value. So that's one of the many ways that you can structure some of the golf opportunities here. And that stuff we're going to be doing more and more on both the Tuesday and Wednesday show.
Sure. Just to hammer that point one more time, again, everybody knows by now, more than likely, that I'm one of the biggest Spieth truthers on the market. But when you have watched the guy for as long as I have, I know that this golf course just isn't perfect for him. Doesn't mean he can't go out and win this week, right? But I think that looking at this matchup 60% of the time, I believe that Xander would win. And it looks like based on our strokes projected, which you can find plenty of ways, but a good way to match them up is our new daily fantasy golf power rankings and matchup tool. And we have Xander basically about a half a shot better than Spieth per round on an average basis, especially here for this week. So again, that's just a little bit good, too good to pass up for me. I do like that bet this week. So, all right, let's end it with some hot takes, Ben. We've gone through pretty much the whole field. If we've missed anybody and you're part of our premium Slack chat and you really want our opinion, fire it at us. I'll be making lineups until probably lock, which is, you know, what, 9:45 tomorrow morning, Eastern Standard Time. Maybe not that long, but certainly I'll be making them for quite a bit. And Ben, I'm sure I'll be able to keep you up for a little longer. But let's go ahead and give our hot takes. I already mentioned John Rahm is going to win, so that might not be a hot take. So I'll let you go first, and then I'll mention my other one.
So I think JT is going to win. That's not a crazy hot take. I do think that he's
semi-hottish, but
yeah, it's semi-hottish.
Actually, I follow you on in our new betting expert article. I actually believe the odds for Thomas have gotten to a point that are really good. So I'm following you with that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's all about the odds. Like, you know, Patrick Cantlay is someone I really like his odds at 25-1. I think he's going to be amongst those guys. But to me, JT, when you factor everything in, is that I'm gonna go back to Chez, though. I think that Chez has an opportunity to be the best player in the 6K range. That's going to be my hot take this week. There's some names that I like. I like Johnny Vegas for sure. EVR makes a lot of sense. I think there's a scenario where Chez, and he fits in that web bucket. Maybe it's a little different than we think, and driving accuracy is pumped up, and Chez can dial in his irons, make some putts, and escape with maybe a top 10 or something like that. So don't sleep on Chez Reavie as a guy to sneak into that first page of the leaderboard.
Wow. That's pretty fire.
That could end bad, but we're, you know what? It's US Open. We got to try something here, chat. That's what we're going for. We're swinging for the fences.
All right. I got to swing for the fences one then. And if you want me to limit the amount of guys that I get in this hot take, you can tell me and I'll give them to you. But here it is. Here it is. One golfer this week will earn a PGA Tour card that they didn't have before. So got a couple of names that are close. Justin Suh, Akshay Bhatia, Thagawa, Guido Migliozzi, Wilco Nienaber. I got a few, Bobby McIntyre. I've got a few that I can go off of. So I'll give you my top three that I think it could be. Bobby Mack is number one. If Nienaber somehow finds a way to literally outdrive everybody by 150 yards, he could wind up in the top five and see himself into a card. And then my third guy, since he went to USC, he only needs a top 10 only, Justin. So I just don't want to quit him. And I would hate to have his best performance be at a US Open where I don't play him. So those are my three. McIntyre, Nienaber, Suh. One of them gets a card this week.
I like it. I think we did a good work here. US Open is a really, you know, of all the majors, I'm not saying it's my favorite, but it's got a distinct feel. And I love that. Just like the Open, you know, the US Open is the US Open. It's a different type of field. It's a different type of test. And I'm really excited to see what we can do here.
Me too. And I will be trying for the Fantasy Golf World Championship a couple of lineups this week. I have not been able to get it yet.
No, I'm never going to get in.
You're just not going to get it. Yeah. Oh, you've been second. How many times now? Three or four?
Three times. I cannot grab a seat this year.
Are you Louis Oosthuizen here?
Jesus. First world problems. I know. But you know what? We're going to try to grab some seats. We're going to try to grab some Millie wins. Then we'll talk about it next week on the show. No doubt about it.
We will, and it's going to be the Travelers, a really good week, a good feel coming up, but of course, the big one this week. Enjoy the coverage. It is everywhere. Get your Peacock subscriptions ready, and of course, enjoy Torrey Pines, everybody. We will see you next week for the Travelers Championship. Thanks all for joining. Make sure you like and subscribe on your way out. Cheers, everybody.